Hello, friends and folks, and welcome to another episode of Neutral Game, your newbie-friendly fighting game podcast. I'm Six Detmar.
And I'm Realrug, aka Real Soviet Bear.
And we're here for this episode to talk about Them's Fighting Herds, one of our upcoming 2019 fighting games. It's currently out in early access, but I believe the plan is for it to hit 1.0 by the end of the year. And so it will be a proper 2019 release. And as far as fighting games, we're actually fairly short on those this year.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. We had Samurai Showdown, right? That's about it.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Ultra Fight Decanta 2.
Yeah, but that's still also early access, technically.
You're right. I forgot about that. And you don't think it's going to make the end of the year?
I don't think they can do enough MS Paint sprite sheets in time. No.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, it's definitely been a year of DLC more than of new releases.
I think we're going to see more of that as we go on, to be honest.
Yeah, it seems like we're having a lot of fighting games have a lot more legs, I think. Especially Tekken 7 has kind of laid the foundation for that as they're onto their third season of DLC characters. Obviously, Street Fighter did multiple seasons of DLC, but that seems like in spite of the game's success, rather than because of it.
Yeah. So we also have MK11 this year, so I'm assuming we're going to get Injustice next year after.
Yeah, they're usually on a two-year schedule, so there'll probably be another year before Injustice.
Yeah.
Unless they want to, you know, finally do something different, but, you know, far from it for me to accuse them of that. But even in a more busy year, I think it would have been worth taking time to talk about Them's Fighting Herds, because it's an interesting game.
And it's also fun. I think fun is more interesting than interesting.
Yeah, I think that's true. So the backstory of the game, this one's had a bit of a rocky history, because it started out as a game called Fighting is Magic, which was a fan game for My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. You know, starring characters from that animated show. And it got a takedown notice, because that's how that goes, right? They got far enough in the process that they got a cease and desist. And so they were really bummed, because they felt like they were making a pretty good game. And then they got basically a message from Lauren Faust, who was the lead designer and producer of Friendship is Magic, of the My Little Pony show. And she was like, hey, I think what you're doing is cool. If you want, I could give you some character designs and you could just use those. And so she did that. They started to work on a new game called Them's Fighting Herds, with a lot of the lessons and systems from Fighting is Magic and these new designs that they'd been given. They started an Indiegogo, which succeeded. And with that, they were able to buy rights to use the Z engine, which is the engine from Skullgirls, and make this game.
Yeah. And speaking of Skullgirls, we're gonna start off with a hot take. I like this more than Skullgirls.
I could see liking this more than Skullgirls. I like Skullgirls more partially because I feel like Skullgirls is done. there are parts of this game that are not done, and I feel like it shows, right?
Yeah, but I just had a much nicer time playing this, I'd say.
I've had a lot of fun playing Skullgirls over the years. I don't, like, one of the things about Skullgirls is I feel like I don't like it the way it's meant to be played. I only ever liked playing one-on-one. I feel like multi-character Skullgirls is not enjoyable. So sometimes I feel like I'm enjoying Skullgirls in spite of itself, but I have had some really good time with Skullgirls over the years.
Well, I think it's also nice to see that the engine is being used for more stuff, and, you know, maybe, like, it's a good engine, so I'm hoping more developers license it.
Yeah, it seems like for an engine, it's fairly affordable, and it does have, like, well, we'll get into it, but it seems like it has, like, good net code, good input code, and it seems to handle most things pretty well. Like, there's some stuff that struck me as a bit weird about the game, but I don't think that's inherent to the engine. It's just, you know, people making their first fighting game, right?
Yeah.
So what, like, I guess this is an anime fighter, right? Basically?
I I guess. I mean, if it's inspired by My Little Pony, the new one, then it's like Western anime, or however you want to call it. Like, very anime-inspired looking Western art.
I mean, what we're really trying to talk about is the way it plays, right? Like,
is it an air dasher and stuff like that?
Right. And some characters have air dashes, some don't. So that's it's a little tricky on that front. But yeah, I would say it feels, and I guess it feels like Skullgirls. It feels like Skullgirls without like assists and stuff, right? It has that kind of like fast pace and like fairly fluid, like anime style, I would say, combo flow.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a little more neutral oriented, and it is a little less like fast paced. Like, I mean, especially one of the things you'll notice is the movement is rather different.
Yeah, I'm not super into the movement. Like, when I started playing it, I felt that it was a really big chore to actually get to the opponent. And mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure why. I feel like it's not exactly the speed of movement, but it's just you cover less ground than I expect you would at all times. And I know, like, because I've never had the issue of, like, playing a fighting game and feeling like that. Like, feeling like, oh my god, it was just such a chore to, like, even get to the opponent.
Well, I mean, part of it, I think, is a disconnect between, like, the animations and the representation, right? I mean, you're playing as horses. Horses are fast.
Yeah.
And considering that, you're moving almost like it's Street Fighter, right? Like, it does feel like a game of inches in a way that I don't know that it's necessarily bad as far as, like, if it was, like you know, like, Gray Box, I don't think it would necessarily be a bad thing. But watching it in action, it just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, there's something off about it, because, you know, everybody has different movement options. Not everybody has a dash, not everybody has an air dash or a double jump, so characters have different movement options, and then different moves propel you forward a different distance. So what you end up with is, like, everybody feels kind of different in how they move, and every time I played, I just felt like, wow, my, like, fingers hurt. I feel like I should have gotten to you much easier than I already did.
Mm-hmm. I will definitely say this game seems to fit a little better with a stick. I had zero problem playing this game on the stick. The button layout and everything, it was quite comfortable.
Yeah, I play it on a pad, but I use a fight pad, so I have 6 face buttons. Although, I felt like with the way the macros are set up and the buttons are set up, it just felt like it's made for 4 face buttons in that way. Like, I had no benefit from having 6 face buttons.
Yeah, it isn't really a very macro-heavy game, because I think there's throw, and that's basically it. I mean, throw slash super, because that's the same input, but everything else, you don't ever need to do 2 buttons at once.
Yeah.
So it has, I would say, it kind of resembles Blaze Blue in sort of its button layout, where it has light, medium, heavy, and then it has magic, which sort of acts like drive. It's your character-specific mechanic.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and each character has both a different drive and different magic capacity.
And it's interesting. So, in this, your use of that magic button is limited by a bar that fills according to different rules based on different characters. Like, with the character Velvet, who I ended up maining, she just passively fills over time. Arizona can use the magic button for, like, certain, like, magic normals without any meter, and when they land, that's how she generates meter for magic bigger moves. So there's different rules for every character, and it's kind of interesting. But in general, I feel like, at least in our play, the magic button ended up being kind of not as important to the way we played.
I mean, I use it a lot with my character because that's how I get around.
I guess that's true with your main Tianhuo. It's a key part of your mobility.
Yeah. I think it depends a lot on the character. I like the magic system because it gives them another kind of like access to balance the game with, because like you said, like, some characters have a high magic bar and regenerate over time. Some have just a high magic bar. Some have like a short bar, but it does regenerate over time. So you have like these knobs you can play with. And for certain characters, it's just more important than with others.
Yeah. And then one of the choices I thought was interesting was it kind of reminds me of a Marvel-style game in the fact that you only have two supers. Like it's and the supers are very specific in their utility, right? Especially playing as Velvet, that really felt like a character where your super was kind of not a good thing to do most of the time.
Yeah, it feels also when we say two supers, you do the other super while you're doing the first super, at least with with most characters, I think. I think it's with all but at least the ones I remember playing. It was like you do a super, you have one super you can always do, and then the second super, which also costs one bar, is a follow-up of the first super.
The sheep palm has two separate supers, but I think with everyone else that's true.
Yeah. So, for example, with Velvet, she'll do a like a tornado, like a blizzard, and then you can do a follow-up super, which won't do extra damage, but it will make the opponent frozen and just slowed down in general. So, from what I've seen, a lot of these supers seem to be do you want to trade damage if you think it won't kill for something else? Like, for example, with Tianhuo, when she does her super, you can forego the damage and then do the follow-up super, which will buff her, which gives you a potential for more damage. But if somebody like blocks you because you know the fight continues, you won't deal any damage.
I feel like of the ones I saw, Tianhuo's was the most interesting, but we'll get into that. Also, maybe the strongest. It was very good. One of the things that really impressed me with this being an early access game and with its, you know, like fan game origins, I feel like the presentation on this game is really impressive.
Yes, it looks very nice. The characters all look very memorable. The animations are all very fluid and it's just like fun to watch and play.
There are little oddities, like when someone gets like KO'd at the end of a round, they just sort of turn into a JPEG in a way that's a little weird. But that's the exception, not the rule. And then also there's like good voice acting, and some of the like round start animations, like Palm, who is like cowering and is pushed in by one of her puppies. Like the animation is just really, really compelling and characterful in a way that impressed me a lot.
Yeah, most definitely. And it's kind of not surprising that they have only six characters, considering how much work obviously went into every single one of the characters.
It is worth noting that they've confirmed, thanks to their Indiegogo going over their goal, there will be a seventh character added post-launch, who's a goat, and that's all we know.
Yeah, okay.
She's a goat. So let's talk about the cast some, because I feel like the way the cast is diversified, they do... another way where I feel like they follow the Skullgirls example is that they have a small cast, but every character feels very different.
Yeah, I think they've covered as much ground as you know they could with six characters.
We've talked a lot about. I feel like Velvet is probably the easiest one to get through because I feel like she's really easy to understand. She's a really strong zoner.
she's basically early Blaze Blue zoning design, I feel.
She feels like, to me, she feels kind of like a hybrid of, like, Nu and Jin, in ways. She has her, like, her dedicated projectile is her magic button, so she has limited use to that, and it has a bunch of weird trajectories, so it's not your main tool. Your main tool is these, specials and normals that create, like, massive, like, spikes of ice that take up quite a lot of the screen, and crucially, a lot of them do hard knockdowns and like push you back half screen. There are some possible balance concerns with the game. It's hard for us to immediately say like, okay, this game's unbalanced, because you know we did play some, but we're hardly masters of the game. But initial impressions are that there are some things, some things that could be evened out a bit.
Yeah, I think it's worth saying that because we've not played the game as much, there are some issues we probably haven't noticed, or maybe some issues which are irrelevant once you're like at the mid-level play. Like for example, like I felt when I started playing that you didn't deal enough damage, but then like a match just took too long, and then after I learned how to play, and after I learned that you don't start your combos with lights, like in say Arc System Works games, and I stopped doing that, then all of a sudden the matches had a reasonable duration. So there's probably stuff we haven't noticed yet because we only played this for like 5 hours total or something like that.
For sure. And also that, like, I mean, as you mentioned, the scaling on lights is more vicious than any game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's really, really intense scaling on light attacks. I guess in order to preserve the, like, the very neutral heavy feel and not make it these one combo, one touch games. And I can appreciate that. And yeah, so with Velvet, your super is pretty bad. And it seems like probably you should be using it mostly for alpha counters. I didn't at any point. I never checked any like command list or anything, so I wasn't sure how to do that. I did it occasionally by accident.
For those who don't know, alpha counter being spending meter to knock back the opponent while blocking.
Mm-hmm. And unlike and compared to other games, I feel like the alpha counter is pretty strong in this game. It doesn't do temporary damage; it does real damage and a pretty good chunk of it. So it's a pretty good get off me tool in this game.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, Velvet's a pretty straightforward, like keep away zoning character.
Yeah. Honestly, playing against her felt like playing against Nu and Rachel and, Blaze Blue Calamity Trigger. And I hate playing against both. So that was refreshing.
Well, I didn't have any full screen options.
Yeah. But, you had the win thing and you can like basically do death by a thousand cuts or icicles.
That's definitely true. I could do that. You, on the other hand, I was ice. You connected more with fire in this particular instance.
Yeah, I went through, before we played, I went through the entire cast with a friend. And I tried playing Velvet, but that ended up being a bit too cheesy for my tastes. So I went with the, I've got to mispronounce it, Tianco, the flaming Chinese Bruce Lee style dragon. I don't know what she is. Is she like a dragon?
Dragon horse?
I think she's. Yeah. Oh, okay. Looking at her wiki page, it says she is. Her mother is a dragon and her dad is a horse. So I guess she's a hybrid.
Well, there we go. Yeah, dragon horse. Okay, nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's more. She's kind of like a mix of. Like Tao Kaka and just general like mix up characters. Like her basic magic ability is to dash forward into the air with a jump kick, but she can also just fly, which won't consume magic, but will stop her magic regeneration. So you can kind of like jump in the air, press the magic button, hover, and then dash forward. And just like a close-up melee character, like no projectiles or anything like that, just high-low mix-ups. Basically, your standard issue Bruce Lee.
That it is worth, yeah, her supers seem, like, her super is weird and finicky to connect, because it's like you use it from the ground. I think you can also use it in the air, but it hits, like, slightly above, like, if someone's crouching, it'll whiff. It's sort of a weird combo super. But if you land it, you can cancel into that level 2 super, which is basically, like, it's a better Ganajin.
It's like Soul's Dragon Install or Ragna's Bloodcane. She just gets powered up and does a ton of damage, all her moves have new properties, and in general she's super dangerous.
The reason I make the Ganajin comparison is it definitely makes your hits... It makes you harder to block in a way where you can cancel moves into other... You can cancel lows into highs and
yes.
stuff.
Yes.
In a way that's really hard to block.
It's also worth noting that, like, it's really hard to get into that mode because you need 2 meter you need the first super to actually connect, which means you need to like launch the opponent into the air. And then when you, and then like you need to like actually have all the meter to do it, and meter gain isn't as fast in this game. I don't think it's that easy to get 2 meter in one round. You need at least like 1.5 rounds to get 2 meter.
Yeah, it seems like usually you got that, you got the level 2 super once a match, because yes, meter is they're pretty cheap with the meter in this game.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and she also has air grabs, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
Galabrol reads.
And it actually got me to a point where I was doing something that is what I will separate from like Arxis, because I feel like in Arxis I would never do this, but like I was doing the classic like intentional no tech to avoid the command throw follow up sometimes.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting mind game that we got to the point where like you had such good options that sometimes the best choice for me was to play dead.
Yeah, and I think like the matches were fairly even, like even though you were playing, like. You were basically playing a get-off-me character, and I was playing a, like, get-in-your-face character, so we were fairly even. Mm-hmm. Like, we had, like chunks of consecutive matches where you would win, and then consecutive matches where I would win, and we would just, like, adapt to each other over and over.
Mm-hmm. And it was mostly just like, okay, can I keep you out? And, like, for me, it became, the match... There were matches where I managed to keep you out the entire time. That was rare. Mostly, it came down to, like, the first time you got in, was I able to get you out again? Because that pressure was just so relentless.
Yeah. But it seems, in general, that from what I've seen, that the characters who have a game plan are pretty good at that game plan. Like, I know when I saw my friend playing Arizona, and Arizona is meant to... you know, be a grappler. She was pretty successful with the grabs, and it seems like Arizona is a good grappler when you play her properly. And same with
I did not play her properly. Yeah. I tried and I could not figure her out.
Yeah, and same with like Oleander, which is this weird Zappa / Tsubaki. Like she's weird. She has a book that she reads and charges up, and then she does projectiles, but she has also, like, point-blank specials that are pretty good and, like, sets up mines. So she's kind of like a hybrid zoner, I'd say. Like, not a full zoner like Velvet. And she's pretty strong when you play her properly, but I don't think either of us played her properly.
No, no. She is, like, one of those examples of the games, like, not quite being all the way there in early access. There is the weird example where whenever she does her big beam super, the game just goes completely silent. It's just like... I'm just standing here, and this JPEG is happening, and okay.
Yeah, that super is also really weird, because it just chips you out completely.
And sometimes it doesn't. I don't understand. Maybe it chips really strongly if you're air blocking and doesn't on the ground? It seemed like maybe?
I don't know. Like, I sometimes have seen it, like, eat up the health, and sometimes it did nothing.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that one. I do want to shout out Paprika, who is Faust, but also it's the first time I've ever found a Faust fun.
Yeah, she's a super good design. Like, I love how she looks, and I appreciate how she plays. It's not my style, but I really like how... So you know when we talked about Fantasy Strike and how I said the panda was just like a blatant one-by-one copy of Faust? Like, Paprika is obviously Faust-inspired, but I think that's an example of how to do a character that's inspired by an archetype or just directly inspired by a character, but make them still feel, like, really fresh.
And they also did a good job of, like, limiting the RNG, because, like, her, you know, like, you compare her to Faust or to Teddy, the items she gets mostly work the same. It's sort of like there's a secondary effect to them that changes things. Like... her, like, basically she summons an item and then headbutts it in a different trajectory based on what you pressed, and it's like, okay, like, is it going to like persist for a couple of extra hits? Is it going to bounce and land again, or is it going to be a consumable that falls to the ground and either player can eat it to regain health? And that range is enough to, like, change things up, but it's not like a complete roll of the dice every time you press the button.
Well, it's also even the heal items can damage you if they hit you. Like, if you throw the apple or broccoli, it'll still, like, hit the opponent, so you're kind of, like, rely on the thing hitting the other person, even though if it's they can heal later if you don't like prevent them.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like it feels less of a, it feels more like a part of a game plan. Whereas characters like Faust and Teddy, I feel like a lot of the time you throw out an item and based on what it is, it determines what you're going to do.
Well, on high-level play with Faust, what you generally do is you just throw the item regardless. Like, you have, like, a string, and you just end it with an item throw. And then, mm-hmm. usually you keep doing the same things. It's just, like, some items will slightly change what you're doing, but kind of like that one string with the item throw and the follow-up will usually be the same. Like, you're kind of, like, doing stuff regardless of the items to an extent.
I see. I guess Teddy in that way is more volatile because you tend to, with like pro Teddy play in Persona, you tend to throw items and then go in following the items, and the nature of your approach depends on what you get.
Yeah. From what I've seen with like Faust plays, like you throw an item and then after you throw it, you do like the same consistent thing. But then after mm-hmm. that, it's like, okay, it was a black hole or it was a bomb or it was like something else, you know, and then I'll change what I'll do.
I see.
Also, I really liked when we played Paprika and Velvet. I really liked that when Velvet eats the apple or broccoli, a tiny elf appears and wipes her like face off.
Like a tiny little napkin.
Yeah, a tiny napkin. That was so good. Like, I love that kind of attention to detail.
Speaking of attention to detail, I think, though I don't know that I like playing her, the little sheep Palm has some of the best attention to detail in her animations and her presentation. I've already mentioned how she like she commands an army of dogs and she has to like push her into the fight. She doesn't want to fight. She summons them by doing little like sheep yips and barks, and just like her whole presentation. She's like a charge character with this weird puppet element. And I don't understand how to play her at all, basically. But just watching her be played, I find kind of enchanting.
Well, the first sentence of playing as Palm says, Palm is an exercise in patience and practice.
Which seems fair enough.
Seems pretty accurate. Yeah, I couldn't understand her either, but she seems like one of those niche characters where she's hard to get into, and I don't know how popular she is, but in the way she plays, she reminds me of those characters that not many people play, and then when you encounter that one person who's really good with the character, you're just completely lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a Scottish sheep. She's adorable.
Pretty good.
Her back-to-forward heavy charge is her trying to bark, and it's not so much that her bark is so loud, but it sounds so weird that the enemy is staggered. she's great. And just, you know, the other characters, I guess we've mentioned everyone at this point. We do have that that secret character. Did you manage to access the bear?
I didn't get around to playing the salt mines, but we can go into that. And just say, like, yeah, this game has a feature where, and it has, like, pixel lobbies, like old Blaze Blue, before they went, like, full 3D, where you move your little avatar around a location, and you can challenge people in that location. And apparently, if there's enough people, you can start a thing called the Salt Mines, where it's this mix of a PvE and PvP mode, where you're, like, fighting enemy-controlled mobs. And one player can take up the role of the boss mob, and the boss mob is a bear. And I sadly have not tried that. I really hope they go the justice path and just go like, oh yeah, we made the bear playable and do a rebalance of it that's appropriate for the regular game.
Yeah, I hope so too. That would definitely be cool.
But also you can customize your little avatar in the Pixel Lobby, which is cool. And they had a tie-in with Arc System Works and I think some other developers. So I have a... Like, if you own the other fighting games, you get those items. So I have a... I had a soul hairdo and a Ragna jacket on Tianhu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they also have, you know, like some Skullgirl stuff, because obviously they have a good relationship with them since they're using their engine.
Yeah.
There are probably other ones that I don't know, but and then there is that's basically like they've got, you know, training mode, they've got versus, they've got online. They will have a story when it hits 1.0. There isn't a story right now. But that's basically the game.
Yeah. How do you feel it played online? Like, how do you like the netcode?
I didn't really have... There were, you know, it's rollback netcode, and there were times where that was evident. And that's always jarring, right? There's not much you can do about that. It's really weird to have those moments when you hear the KO sound, and then the other person overheads you. And you're like, well, you're dead, though! but... In general, I thought it played really well. It didn't feel very sluggish to me. You know, it felt comparable to times we played, you know, like Arxis games and stuff. It felt pretty smooth.
Yeah. I guess I'm personally just not super used to rollback. So for me, it was jarring with, say, like, you had a projectile out, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to time my block for the projectile, and all of a sudden I'm dead before the projectile moves. It turns out it killed me. So there are moments like that. But also, I'm sure that somebody who's used to rollback probably hates when the game suddenly just slows down a bit due to lag when it doesn't have rollback.
Yeah, and also, I mean, like, I think it probably, like, it. I could see it being matchup-specific, honestly. I mean, like, I feel like the thing that most consistently got you was Velvet's, like, Snowflake Magic Projectile, which is so fast.
Yeah.
And I feel like it doesn't, it specifically doesn't play very nicely with netcode. As far as, like, fighting against Tianhuo, like, I see, you know, I messed up, like, mix-ups and stuff sometimes, and maybe there were times when, like, based on rollback, I didn't correctly see what was going to happen, but, like, you already know, like, it's not like there's no telegraphing that Tianhuo is about to run up to you and try and high-low you.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, and I think there were some times where it's just like, I ended up in front of you, and you were super confused with how fast it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's the other thing, is because the movement is relatively fairly slow, the moments where rollback kicked in hard, it was like, oh shit, Tianhuo teleported, I'm done.
yeah. But overall, it handled pretty well. Like, we didn't have anything that, you know... made us angry or like, oh, I can't play this. Like, it's pretty comparable to Arc System Works stuff, which is so far, I guess, our best point of comparison.
And in general, like, if there are some issues, I think you and I are going to be all right with that because we're playing a third of the way across the globe.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, yeah, no, a few things here or there, we're not going to hold that against you. That's just the nature of the beast, you know? Like, the speed of light is what it is.
Yes, just a reminder that, like, fighting game players need gameplay faster than the speed of light.
One of these days, we're going to master FTL communication, and fucking netcode's going to be lit. It's going to be nuts.
Yeah. I do wonder whether, as we move on, like, more fighting games will be less pixel perfect, and rather than just, like, oh, the netcode is better, it's also, like, oh, the gameplay doesn't actually require frame-perfect execution, so you don't even notice it's wrong.
Yeah. I do really, I don't know if we, I doubt we could make a full episode out of this, but I do at some point want to try out Stadia. Not because I think it's going to be good, but because their pitch of like, oh no, there's negative latency, we already know what buttons you're going to hit, really makes me feel a way.
Oh yeah, okay, well we should try that, and we should try that with their Alive, which is based around parries and breathing the other opponent.
Yeah, I'm going to be really excited when it either decides I've never landed a parry in my life, or that I'm a god of parries, and I don't hit the button, but somehow I parry.
No, see, what'll happen is we have the current part where we go like, oh, I teched that throw, and the game says, no, you didn't. And then we're going to reach the next step, which is you go like, oh, I teched that throw, and Google Stadia said, no, you wouldn't have teched that throw, you didn't.
And then you're going to, but also, some people are going to reach the other stage where they're like, I didn't tech that throw, and the game's going to say, yeah, you did. You're like, okay.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm okay with GGPO and most proprietary netcodes at this point.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying I want this because I think it'll be good. I just think it'll be interesting. It'll be a unique disaster.
I mean, folks, if you want this when Google Stadia comes out to compare it to something like, say, Parsec, let us know, and we can see what we can figure out.
Yeah, try some shit out. That'll be fun and exciting. Or oh man, play a game that uses GGPO on Stadia. That'd be a nightmare.
Probably.
But
yeah, that's about it. Would you recommend them's fighting herbs?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's fun. I'm gonna get in trouble with my co-host here for saying this one. I like it better than Samurai Showdown.
I mean, you're entitled to your own opinions. That's fine.
But also, I mean, like, I'm the person who spent like 7 years being like, Tekken's the fucking worst, and now I'm playing Tekken and I'm having a good time.
I'm glad you're saying that, because we recently got some comments on the first episode where people are like, oh, it's funny seeing you people like talk down on Tekken, but it's been going strong for 3 years, even though they realized it's an old episode. So hey, like, opinions need to be updated after a certain point.
Right. I will never apologize for the fact that my opinion has changed.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing that we should all endeavor to grow, and maybe Tekken's okay.
Yeah. On my end, I would definitely recommend this game if you are, I guess, like, if Arc System Works or Anime Fighters are too fast for you, but like something like Street Fighter is too slow for you, this seems to be somewhere on the spectrum, like in between. I'm not sure exactly. It's not that center, but it's like somewhere there. So I'd say try that. Or if you wanted something like Skullgirls, but 1v1 instead of like assists or 3v3, then this is also a good choice. I'm not into My Little Pony or the aesthetic in general, but I feel this looks really charming and the characters play nice.
Okay. That sounds like a strong recommendation from me. To me. It's a strong reputation from me, but that's where you were the one who was.
Yeah. Okay,
sorry. Well, let's go ahead and kick it to the plug zone.
First off, never call it the plug zone again, as long as I'm here. sorry. But otherwise, yeah, you can find me on twitter.com/mdkii. That's MDK Roman numerals 2. I'm also on twitch.tv/realsovietbear. You can watch me stream all sorts of things. And yeah, my Twitter has all the other stuff I do. What about you, Six? Where can people find you?
You can find me living in the plug zone. Plug zone. Six.mar on Twitter.
I'm just going to make a website like zombo.com and just call it plugzone.com.
There you go. All right. Well, until next time, folks, thanks for listening and peace out.
Bye-bye.